it's important that people overcome those limiting beliefs. So I work a 9-to-5. I don't have the money to pull it off is most definitely a limiting belief. And if that's, it was Henry Ford, who's not the most freedom oriented person, but Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Okay. So for people to say, I can't do the exit and build thing, I don't have the money, I have a 9-to-5, then okay, that's what you've chosen for yourself. You literally just made it clear by saying that, I can't, right? Same thing, people that say, I can't afford it, I can't afford to buy land. You don't say, I can't afford it. You say, how can I afford it?
You're listening to Freedom Junkie Radio.
I have to tell you, I remember the first time I ever saw you, and it was at a TAG meeting in 2012, Texans for Accountable Government.
That's right.
I don't even know if TAG exists anymore.
I think it kind of does, but it kind of shifted form. So well, yeah, I'm sharing this on some channels real quick.
Okay. I was in that meeting, that TAG meeting, because I had a knee-jerk reaction to the NDAA being passed in 2011 at Christmas time, where now the language was that, hey, Ryan, I don't know if you can, we'll take some questions later if people want to hop on. But I was at that meeting because I had been aware of the NDAA being passed in 2011, and it was, the language was passed that American citizens could now be detained indefinitely on suspicion of being terrorists. And I thought, you know, we've been doing that to people in Guantanamo that aren't American, just detaining them indefinitely without a trial. And that's not American. It doesn't even matter if you're American or not. It's just, that's a human right. You shouldn't be imprisoned by someone without a trial. And so I was so irritated by that I joined a political party for the first time, which happened to be the Libertarian Party. And I ran for Congress as a Libertarian. And so I got in with the TAG people. And here I am at this meeting for Texans for Accountable Government. And there's about, I don't know, 50 or 60 people there. And you walked in the room and everybody basically gave you a standing ovation. They were like, John Bush is there.
Oh boy.
And I was like, who's this rock star? You know, I had no idea. So you've been involved in the freedom, in humanity being free from the chains of everything for as long as I have known who you are. So it's super cool to connect with people who not only want freedom for humanity, but who are out there doing things to create that. So welcome to Freedom Junkie Radio. I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me. And we're excited that you're going to be performing at the Exit and Build Land Summit concert.
Oh, I'm so excited because my songs are all about that. I have a new song about chemtrails and I have a new song called Become Ungovernable with me. And a lot of people don't like it. So it'll be fun to be performing for a friendly crowd for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so... Yeah, this is the fourth Exit and Build Land Summit. How has it been going? I'm curious to know, like, how it's been growing and some success stories that people have had from coming to the Land Summit. So for people who don't know, the Exit and Build Land Summit is something that John and his wife and some other people put together that it gives people a place to start from when what they want to do is leave the cities, go figure out how to find some land, maybe get involved with some other people in buying a piece of land, making that land farmable, using permaculture, learning how to animal husbandry, getting off grid, all those things. And it's all in one place that you can go learn from the experts. So this is year number four. I'm curious to know what some success stories have been from people who've been in the past.
Sure. Yeah. We've actually had quite a few folks that come to the event and it's the motivation and encouragement that they need to actually exit the cities and buy land. In fact, every year we start by following up with attendees from previous events And one of the challenges that we're having is we'll call somebody and they'll be like, hey, yeah, I'd love to come, but we have a ranch that we're working on and we just got a whole lot of work to do. So we can't make it out to the event. So yeah, there's definitely folks. There's a guy named Steven and his wife. They're actually over 70 and they were in California and they went to the land summit and they got the motivation, inspiration they needed. And they ended up buying some acreage in Texas here near Dallas, I believe. So really excited to hear those kind of stories. There's actually been relationships that were forged after the land summit. Ryan Minitti, our vice president of sales here at Live Free Academy, he met his now fiance at one of our events. It wasn't the land summit. It was the Greater Reset, but same kind of vibe. And then there was actually a couple that met, fell in love, had a baby since Land Summit 2. So we really try to cultivate opportunities for people to network and build relationships. It's not just giving people the tips and the knowledge and the tactics. In addition, it's all about the mindset and overcoming limiting beliefs and really cultivating a sense of belief in oneself. But then on top of that, it's really heavy duty on networking, relationships, and community building, because there's tons of survival conferences, homesteading conferences all across the country. But what we talk about that stuff, permaculture as well. But most importantly, our event is about building community, whether it's cooperatively buying land and building an intentional community where people live on the land together, or just buying land out in a rural area and then connecting with your neighbors, connecting with other freedom people in the area and getting together regularly. We strongly believe that there's strength in numbers, especially when it comes to navigating the world that we're living in, which is getting crazier by the day.
You know, though, it makes sense to me to get to know your neighbors and figure out who's a friendly and who you could, you know, if you're growing tons of tomatoes and they've got a side of beef or whatever, how you can get together and help each other out and live free from the society that we're in. But I am curious about these intentional communities, because I am such a independent kind of person that to me, I have found, you know, we've homeschooled always, and we have found, for instance, that the co-ops, the homeschool co-ops always fail because you end up with too many people. People need a leader. Like the reason why schools work, like private schools, is because if it's an Episcopal school or it's a fill in the blank, this is what we do. There's like a headmaster who calls the shots and tells it how it is. And if you don't want to go to that school, you don't go. But if you do want to go to that school, you have to, this is what we're doing. And what we found was with homeschool co-ops, they always fall apart because you have too many people trying to, there's no leader, you know? And so everybody wants their own, kind of to do it their own way. And it just, personalities get involved. So I'm curious how, it just seems to me like people would get sideways. What have you noticed about some of these intentional communities and how have they worked?
Well, I think that you hit the nail on the head. Oftentimes, you know, as anarchists and libertarians, we prefer that there isn't a leader and everybody's just taking the initiative and making things happen on their own from the bottom up. But it's a natural human tendency for there to be leaders and followers. In the Freedom Cell Network, we like the term activators. And so rather than being a leader, you have a role of an activator where you activate other people to take personal responsibility for their lives or to really double down on their exit and build activities. But when there's some sort of effort or organization or homeschool co-op or some sort of movement, oftentimes it does definitely benefit that movement for there to be leaders, so to speak. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes folks need someone to kind of drive things forward. One thing that I found is there's a lot of people in our freedom movement and in general that lack skills when it comes to project management and like building things, creating things, leading things. And so that's one of the things that we try to encourage people to learn through the work we're doing at the Land Summit or the Greater Reset, you know, taking the initiative, skilling up, cultivating those leadership skills where you can take something from an idea to fruition. When it comes to intentional communities, oftentimes they're organized around someone's idea or a couple or a family's idea. And they're like, hey, we think that it'd be cool to build a community around homeschooling or build a community around permaculture or whatever it may be. And then other people are attracted to that idea. There's other times people come together and they're like, hey, the status quo and isn't working. We're living in single family neighborhoods. We're disconnected. We're worried about what's going on in the cities. And it's kind of people chattering. And it's a little bit more challenging to have an organized effort move forward without at least one or two or three people stepping up and kind of pushing and leading the charge. You know, there's new experimental forms. A lot of them aren't even new, actually. But so there's hierarchical vertical organizing, and then there's horizontal organizing that's done in a decentralized way. But even when it's horizontal, there's still a tendency for people to step up and kind of lead and push. So what we're after and what we're trying to build, because Rebecca and I are working on an eco-development project to build an intentional community. Right now we have a 10-acre homestead and there's two community members. We have spot for a third, and then we're going to potentially add a few more spots on the back part of our property. Ultimately having like 8 households, which is a nice, manageable, simple number. Everyone can stay connected. But we're ultimately trying to buy 100+ acre property to build a larger eco community. And so one of the things that I've found is when it comes to these horizontal organizations, there still needs to be some semblance of leadership. There's other newer things that are being created now, like a decentralized autonomous organization, which is using cryptocurrency and blockchain to have voting mechanisms and decision-making systems. But one thing that I've seen just observing some of these institutions is still, it's kind of like there's a crowd running things, and then there's everyone that has their own specific view. And sometimes people try to rise up and lead on an initiative, but then people are like, hey, what are you trying to do? Take control, this or that. So I think one thing that's important above all else is folks coming together with shared values, but then also being aligned with a definiteness of purpose and having the same purpose that's moving their actions forward. Because a lot of times when it's the opposite, it just turns into this disparate kind of thing that doesn't have direction. And so direction can come from multiple individuals or it can come from one individual, but having a defined purpose is most definitely a critical part and makes a difference between success and failure.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I keep thinking of this thing, this term that Larkin Rose uses, and it's that, you know, suddenly when everything's in your lap, you suddenly become an adult. But that as Americans and as humans in general, we're pretty much children until we're not. And there's a point in our lives where, and some people never get there because you've got the nanny state. You've got someone holding your hand through everything. You've got a boss. You've got, maybe your wife is your boss too. Like, you just never really stepped into the role of full on, I'm capable, it's up to me now to be the adult. And I think that, see, it would just freak me out to try to choose community members to come live with me because I'm just too picky. I would feel so, like, I don't know. I'm impressed that, oh, you know, if they're my friends, I don't want to get sideways with them. And then if they're more like business associates, it just seems like such a huge undertaking to create a community.
Well, one thing that I'm trying to focus on now, I've been diving deeper into Napoleon Hill. In fact, I've done a whole slew of interviews this week, and I bring this up every single time. So it's what's on my mind, and I think it's really powerful medicine. But there's this great book. Napoleon Hill, of course, authored Think and Grow Rich, which is like this seminal self-development work, and it's kind of the foundation. I mean, I think you can come back to the Buddha and then some yogic practices for a lot of this mindset type stuff. Your mindset creates your reality. But nonetheless, in the modern era, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich was a seminal work that a lot of other people have built on top of. But there's this other book he wrote called Outwitting the Devil. And the whole book is like a narrative between him and the devil. And he has the ability to ask the devil any question and the devil will respond honestly. And he basically dials down that there's two types of people in this world. 98% fit into one camp, and those are folks that are stuck in a habit of drifting. They're drifting aimlessly. The other camp, which is the 2%, are people that have a definiteness of purpose. They have a defined purpose, and they're driven towards the pursuit. They're driven in the pursuit of that purpose. And the big differentiation between the two groups is that one lives in fear and the other lives in faith. And so traditionally, I've held the same thought that, wow, I'm feeling afraid that this could go south or sideways, as you said, or I could end up shacking up with somebody in our community or in a business relationship that ends up sabotaging or being a jerk to be around, right? And so that's one thing. But oftentimes, if we live in fear, and if it's the fear of those outcomes that are dominating our thinking, then we have more of a likelihood to manifest that or to stay alone and not ever pursue our defined purpose. But if instead we operate from a place of trust and we know that our vibe attracts our tribe and we're confident that we are going to attract the right people and we step into it from a place of faith, then we're more likely to manifest that which it is that what we want, right? But this is all the mindset piece, and it can be hairy fairy. Practically speaking, I have kids. I don't want some degenerate moving onto our property or living in a community around our family. But I have really noticed that our vibe really does attract our tribe, and the significant majority, if not almost everybody, except for some very rare instances, most everybody's really cool. And when you speak like this and we're talking about spirituality or the pursuit of excellence or being the best versions of ourselves, then people are attracted to that align with those philosophies. And then there's other people that are like, oh, this sounds like some hairy fairy BS or whatever. And then they would be turned off by that. But also there's practical tactics that you can engage in. For example, before we invite someone to formally live in one of these communities, there'll definitely be a vetting process. And one of those things that we've found that's effective in really pulling out of someone some inner, their true self is to stress test them. So it's one thing to go on a Zoom meeting or to have dinner and a drink, and then you feel like you got a sense of someone. But if they volunteer at the Exit and Build Land Summit, for example, which tends to be a high stress, high intensity undertaking, then we'll be able to see how they handle pressure, which is important, because life's all peachy until it's not. And when things get challenging, then that's really where character makes the most difference. And if you're just meeting somebody or doing Zoom meetings to try to get to know them, then you miss out on how do they behave in a stressful situation. And I think that's really what's most important, because most of life is simple and fun, but there are stressful instances. And I do think the way things are going in society, we're going to be faced with much more stress and adversity than we've ever experienced. So it's up to each and every one of us to show up as our best self and to try to align with other people that are on that same wavelength, because things are going to get kind of crazy.
Well, you fielded that question beautifully. Thank you for reminding me that fear, you don't want to make decisions out of fear, and that we do attract our vibe. I'm curious to know how you ended up, just shifting gears here just for a second. How did you end up, do you think, with a liberty mindset as opposed to everybody else who just really wants to be governed harder? You know, I'm curious about people like us, how we ended up with that. Were you born that way? Were you raised that way?
I always wonder about that also. And I was not raised that way per se, although my parents were great, but they were strict in some regards and very loose in others. So I woke up, even before I woke up formally, although you never really wake up, it's all just, we're just endlessly trying to wake up and become, you know, more enlightened, I guess. After 9/11, I caught a documentary about Alex Jones, right, here in Central Texas on cable access, 9/11 Road to Tyranny. But even before then, I was a bit of a rambunctious kiddo, getting in trouble in school, rebelling against the teachers. And we even organized this big protest walkout, like we called it the tardy. We were going to do a tardy party because they instituted this policy where if you're late even a minute, you got to go get a detention down the hallway and then you miss out on lunch and stuff. So I was always a bit of a rebel. I'm not exactly sure what it is about folks. I think a lot of it has to do with how they're raised, but then I don't know what it is, honestly.
I don't either. Because
there's some people that are just so, they're not able to push through the cognitive dissonance and they just fall back on that comfort. You know, I have siblings. My older half sister, she's very successful. She is a critical thinker, although she's very much mainstream. But I think she stands out from the masses in that she's more successful and driven and exercises religiously every single morning and is like very powerful mother and setting a strong example for her kiddos. She's by no means like a truther or a freedom person, but she pushed through the resistance to be a really solid person and be successful and driven. My brother is a conspiracy researcher, just like I am, although he's not motivated as I am to take action. So I don't know really what it was. I know that there's some siblings. My lovely wife, for example, her sister is more mainstream normie. They were raised in the same household. They're close in age as well. So don't know what it is. There's some seed of questioning authority in there. I don't know. It's a great question. I wonder if there's any research on it or scientific research.
I honestly think we're born with it, because when you look at the Milgram experiments about which people will follow authority and do what authority tells them to do, if someone in a white coat is standing there telling you to inflict pain on this participant in a study, 80% of people will keep doing it, even though they didn't realize they were, you know what I'm talking about, the Milgram experiments. Mm-hmm. They were the ones being experimented on, yep. being told to continue to inflict pain. The one in the other room pretending to be in pain was in on it. And there's 20% of people that will look at the person in the authoritarian coat telling us what to do and go, no, I'm not going to do this. So that's 1 in 5. That's not bad, actually. You know, Napoleon Hill said it's 2% of people, you were saying, who are driven. I think it's more than that. But it doesn't seem to have anything to do with how you were raised and even genetics, because, you know, I have siblings as well. And as awesome as they are, the majority of them are very much rule followers. You know, and I'm all about questioning, you know, so it is interesting.
One thing real quick. Do you know if they studied what it was about the people, the 20% that didn't continue to do the harm? Did they find any similar traits or characteristics or anything in their family line or anything like that? That'd be cool to look at.
It really would be, because we need to wake that up in people.
Yeah. And another thing about the 2% and 98%. A lot of it has to do with not just being red-pilled, because there's a whole lot of people that are red-pilled, but they still don't have a definiteness of purpose. And they themselves are caught in what Napoleon Hill calls a hypnotic rhythm. We all are to some degree, but the more clearly you define your purpose and you align with faith over fear, you break free of the hypnotic rhythm, or you put yourself in a positive hypnotic rhythm where you're constantly engaged in habits that are reinforcing the other positive habits and are ultimately pushing you towards alignment with your definite purpose. But a lot of people in the freedom community, the truth community, they wake up, but then they don't really do anything of greatness, or they don't really do anything to change their own circumstances or to participate in the animated contest for freedom. They just get caught in a hypnotic rhythm of sharing articles online and complaining about the New World Order and word vomiting over their family at Thanksgiving. They themselves aren't driven. They may be quote unquote awake, but they're caught in the same hypnotic rhythm. And most definitely, especially with a lot of the media that our community consumes, they most definitely are living in a state of fear over faith. And it's not fear of climate change or fear of COVID, the virus, we better take our vaccine. It's fear of the deep state and the shadow governments right around the corner, and everybody that gains some semblance of popularity is controlled opposition. So I would say within our freedom community and our truth community, even though we've woken up, many people have woken up, they're still asleep in many regards.
Well, it's true. There's a whole spectrum, and we're never completely fully awake. We're always learning new things that we didn't know. But I think what I'm picking up from what you're saying is that we need to shake it up. We can't get into a groove, like you were calling it, that pattern. And so shake it up, do new things, do things new ways, take a new way to the, you know, if you drive to the grocery store the same way every time, go a different way, just brush your teeth with your left hand or whatever, your opposite hand. Do things that make you remember that you have to think. And then also, what is the right thing? What is the right thing to do? You know, there was another one where there was a goldfish. The teacher came in and put the goldfish on the table, and it was gasping for air. And the kids were all, and the teacher said, don't do anything. Finally, after like 5 minutes, this one girl got up and looked at everybody and was like, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. And she took the goldfish and put it back in the water. And just, I showed that to my kids. I was like, dudes, you know, you always do the right thing and always question authority. And that includes questioning me. If I tell you to do something that goes against every fiber of your being, don't do it. You know, you've got to, I mean, I don't know how to wake that up in people and remind people of just think, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of, that's another thing from the book, the thinking is the big piece. And a lot of people don't think for themselves because they're in fear. And when people are put in a state of fear, they're not thinking for themselves. They're thinking in terms of whatever entity or person or authority put them in that place of fear. But I think courage is hard to come by these days. A lot of people are afraid of the boogeyman and the government's right around the corner and they're always watching everything. And I think that's just why the whole faith piece, just have faith that everything's going to be okay. And the more of us that stand up and live in faith over fear, the more likely we are to succeed unharmed. And of course, that's not to say we should put ourselves in harm's way or risk the wealth or the situation that people, you know, people have we have a mortgage, for example, and I don't want to go rebel and say I'm not paying property taxes and then have my home taken away from me. But I do think that we all could be doing more because, we're quickly finding ourselves in a position where future generations are going to be born with digital IDs and social credit scores and all and chips in their arms, right? So we need to, obviously our family, at least our family living now, that's not going to happen. I'm pretty sure my kids, they're 11 and 12, they are probably going to reject something like that. But you never know as the generations go on. And so I think the hope with this whole exit and build thing is to show people, to show as many people as possible there's another way to live so they don't think that there's only one way, which is the status quo mainstream way. There's another way to do things that's more in alignment with our nature, more in alignment with the planet, with Earth, and more in alignment with each other.
So I want you to tell us about, just a little brief, what your expectations are for this Exit and Build Land Summit.
We're expecting a whole lot of people to show up and have a dang good time and be inspired and empowered and motivated and meet people. That's a huge piece. So if folks are going to come, make sure that you are coming with a mindset towards connecting and networking and striking up conversations with strangers and ultimately taking what you learn and applying it, because that's what's most important. A lot of times people come to these events passively, but we want people to actively participate and then take the nuggets of wisdom that you gained at the conference and apply them back at home in your personal life.
And so in a nutshell, what is this other way of living that people don't even seem to be aware of?
Well, a lot of it has to do with getting back to the land and having a homestead or at least some property or at least enough space to grow your own food. So reconnecting with the land, reconnecting with the soil, and then having a tight-knit community of people that have your back. So a lot of folks are feeling isolated and alone and afraid, but there's so many freedom people out there. You know, having done this for a while, I know you've been doing it for a while, there's been like these waves. And of course, there's a huge push after the Ron Paul campaign in 2007, 2008, and then a little bit again after 2012. But this movement has grown substantially, especially after COVID, which I think they most definitely overplayed their hand and maybe pushed too hard And a lot of people woke up as a result of that. So now we're encouraging the people that have woken up to change their lifestyle and to live a life that's more in alignment with their values, freedom, voluntary relationships, bodily autonomy, reconnecting with the earth, connecting with your neighbors, playing an active role in the lives of your elders and those that came before you. Yeah, I think that's what it's all about. It doesn't have to be anything. You know,
people do want to have their own food sources these days. Uh-huh. Everybody has that. So you've got the people who have the means to go and buy 20 acres or 70 acres or however many and start putting in food forests and gardens and having a few chickens and goats and things, whatever it is that they want to do. But then you have this group of people out there that are probably, like you said, feeling isolated and going, I am working a 9-to-5. I would love nothing more than to exit and build, go do this, but I do not have the ability to go do that. But what I'm picking up on is part of it is this community, and those people who have 30 acres to farm need people to come out and join them and construct a tiny home or a yurt or whatever it's going to be so that you can take part in that. I guess that you would encourage everybody to check out this Exit and Build Land Summit, because no matter where you are on the spectrum of having means to go and make this happen, the fact that you're a willing participant might be enough means to get you onto somebody's farm, right?
Sure. Yeah. And we spend a lot of time on mindset. So it's important that people overcome those limiting beliefs. So I work a 9-to-5. I don't have the money to pull it off is most definitely a limiting belief. And if that's, it was Henry Ford, who's not the most freedom oriented person, but Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Okay. So for people to say, I can't do the exit and build thing, I don't have the money, I have a 9-to-5. Then, okay, that's what you've chosen for yourself. You literally just made it clear by saying that, I can't, right? Same thing, people that say, I can't afford it. I can't afford to buy land. You don't say, I can't afford it. You say, how can I afford it? So on the one hand, you know, 9-to-5, I know people have different circumstances and different energy levels. And as I get a little bit older, my energy starts to wane. I guess I just need to exercise more, but there's plenty more hours in the waking day than just 9-to-5, than 40 hours a week. There's a whole lot of waking hours on Saturday and Sunday. And in the evening time, if somebody genuinely wants this, then you have no business spending all your time watching Netflix and going to happy hour with your friends. That's the time when you could be starting a side hustle to bring in the extra income in order to come up with a down payment potentially. So that's one piece. And, you know, when Rebecca and I got together and shared this same vision, I was just pretty fresh off of a divorce. And I moved back in with my parents for 3 or 4 months. This was in 2017. So that was 7 years ago. So I moved back in with my parents as a 32-year-old man with 2 children. So talk about, you know, an ego bruising. But I was like, my business was totally struggling, barely even bringing in enough money to run the business, let alone pay for food and life for my kids and I. And I moved in with a friend shortly after that and is upstairs and started to save up and started to lean heavier into my business and focus on my mindset and continue to learn skills so I could be of better service and provide more value to my clients. And then Rebecca and I got together and we moved into this 399 square foot tiny home, and she was hustling up and saving money for the down payment on the house. I started Live Free Academy and really leaned into that. But the whole time I'd been studying marketing and sharpening my skills. So we were in that same situation, but we knew that mindset is everything, and the way that we speak to ourselves really creates our reality. So people just need to get over those limiting beliefs, push through them and believe in themselves. And the more you believe in yourself, you'll find that the universe is conspiring in your favor. And then, so that's one thing. Anyone can attract more money into their lives, but if they have this negative outlook and they say they can't do it, then they won't. But if you say you can and I'll figure it out, I don't know how to do it now, but I know I'm going to figure it out because this is my destiny, then everything just ends up working out. Not to say it's all easy peasy. It's still going to be a challenge, but the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph, as Thomas Paine said. And then secondly, there's all sorts of creative ways where you don't even have to pull very much money together. You just have to add value. You have to be somebody that can add value to someone that already has land. So If you have a 9-to-5, you could go start volunteering at a garden. You could go save up. You don't have to save up the money for a big down payment, tens of thousands of dollars, $50,000, $20,000, whatever it may be. You could save up the money to go do a permaculture design course. And then you could start coming to meetings and events like we're putting on and say, hey, I'm a permaculture guy. Look what I've managed to do. I volunteered on someone's property to do this project. I'd like to maybe get an RV or if someone has an extra bedroom to stay in, and I'll work full time on your property or whatever it may be. We had somebody living on our property. He didn't pay rent. And he was kind of like our handyman, good friend of ours, added so much value, helped to build the chicken coops, helped me build our wicking bed garden. And he didn't even pay rent or anything. In fact, we paid him a pretty good amount to do all sorts of work on the property. So if there's a will, there's a way, but there's the first thing you got to do is get your mind right and believe in your ability to do so, or it just won't happen. So sometimes I have little patience for folks that are all down and out and complaining and limiting beliefs, but I was there too. So a lot of times people just need a little coaching and a little push, like get that shit out of your head, man. You can do it. You just got to believe in yourself.
I love it. You are an example of what it is you're preaching. You've practiced what you preach. Your story is, I love how vulnerably authentic you are with your story and telling, hey, I was at the, like pulling up from the bootstraps part. Well, we've done it too. We started out with nothing and we started a business and grew it to the point of being able to buy some land. And so it's true. It is a mindset. It is knowing you have to do it. And back to the fear thing where you were talking about, getting rid of fear is huge. And I think it starts with the fear of death. If you finally just go, you know what? I am going to die and it could be tomorrow. I'm not going to fear it. And that makes you not fear all the other little things, the spiders and the snakes and the government and whatever, you know, it's like, why would I be afraid of anything? You know, we just get a little minimal time here. And when you're living and alive and creating something, it's really awesome.
Is this going to record this?
Yeah, we're recording it.
Cool.
So I will be posting this on probably my YouTube channel and Rumble and here on Telegram. I'll edit off those first few minutes when I was running around trying to figure out how to do it.
Excellent.
Well, so I'm really excited about seeing y'all on Friday, and I may be able to come out on Saturday or Sunday too. So,
cool.
Is there anything else that you want to leave everybody with, John?
No, I just encourage folks to get a ticket to the Land Summit. Join us in person if you can. There'll be a fun concert that Betsy will be performing at Friday night. It's just a really solid event for people to connect, get to know one another. And it's also a great time to learn and feel inspired. People can sign up for free also to watch the first day and a half of the online stream, or you can get a virtual immersion pass to get the full 3 days, and also to get to ask questions of the speakers, or you get the replays if you're not able to watch while it's live.
Okay. And I'll have my affiliate link posted below the video if people want to click there and get access to either the paid version or the free version, right?
Yep. Yeah. Follow the link. You can sign up for free, or you can get a virtual pass, or best yet, join us there in person.
Awesome, John. Well, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to come tell the Freedom Junkie community about the Exit and Build Land Summit next weekend. Not this weekend, the next weekend, May 17th through 19th.
Yep. Okay, cool. And can't wait to hear your set.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be a blast. Have a great weekend, everybody. Henry and John, enjoy this life that we have.
Bye. See you.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Just a quick reminder, if you love Freedom Junkie Radio, pay a visit to my sponsor in South Austin. He's got a coin shop. He sells gold and silver. It's called Chris's Coins, K-R-I-S Coins, KRISCoins.com, or you can visit him on Slaughter Lane. Tell him Betsy from Freedom Junkie Radio sent you. And as we know, gold and silver is such a great hedge against inflation, which is out of hand right now. And as our dollars get worth less, gold and silver keeps its value. It never goes away. The greatest act of rebellion right now is to be completely free. Be your own bank. be your own doctor, do it yourself, be sovereign, take life by the horns, and get you some gold and silver. See you next time. Yeah.